Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing, CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So, let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing, CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
All right, Dana. It's been a long week.
Oh, man, boss. Yeah, it has been a very long week.
I know we're getting closer to the holiday, so it's like all it feels like is let's push to get everything done before we all go on break and forget everything we've done.
Absolutely. And then in the middle of this week, we had a Zoom retirement party. So
that's right. Yes. I don't know if other colleges are doing this, but our district did a supplemental retirement program, which is usually where, you know, you want to do a little house cleaning. And so you offer up some incentives that if people were within 1 or 2 years of retirement, they can retire now, in a sense, and not miss out on anything of years of service and stuff like that. So, yes, we had one of our technicians, Martha, finally, after years of threatening to retire, actually is retiring in a matter of weeks.
Finally took the plunge.
And I have to say, Dana, of course, is our a social coordinator for the office, even when we can't be in-person social. Put together the wonderful event, and we gave her a wonderful prize, a trophy, or
I was gonna say, plaque.
Yes,
yeah,
and a gigantic flying bronze eagle.
Yes,
yes,
that thing is you had to see it in person to really like be in awe and wonder.
Exactly. You know? No, but yeah. The good thing is, at least the eagle is our school's, you know, mascot.
Our mascot, kind of thing. Yeah.
We are the Eagles. So it was so perfect.
Yes, inappropriate, yeah.
Yeah, so it went really well. Now, the only thing is, can we please hopefully refill that position sometime? Before the end of, I don't know, the spring semester?
Oh, man.
You want to put odds on this? I mean, I was just talking to somebody else at another college, one of our colleagues in CISFA, about hiring and all, because we were talking on some other things about the association. And as he put it, he's lucky right now. All the positions he has are filled.
Oh, awesome.
The only problem is like 3 or 4 of him, and he's probably about the same size office, so that might be up to like half his people, are interim. Because it's one of these, you know, type of things, you know, a technician leaves, retires, etc.
Yeah.
And someone like a financial aid assistant moves up as an interim. And then you get someone else to fill into that. So he's been going through just the machinations of trying to fill permanently all of his positions.
Okay.
So, he kind of understood our type of circle. Because, you know, a lot of districts, it's a little tough, you know, when you're trying to hire remotely. And you're trying to take care of a process remotely, and you're hoping, not my case, you know, that I can get the funding to pay for.
I was going to say that is probably 90% of the battle there.
Yeah, nowadays it doesn't matter where the money comes from, whether it's our BFAP funding from the state or it's direct college general fund, just trying to get the funding to do anything. You know.
Oh boy. Yeah. So here we go.
Yeah. So that's what's going on our, in our world, at least. And yes, I'm so happy for Martha to be retiring. She well deserves it. Let's just hope we can replace her and hope that she has a good time doing all the things that she wants to do now that, she doesn't have to work for me 40 hours a week.
40 right. plus hours. What you talking about?
Exactly. 40 plus. Well, Dana, you know, we did a great interview on Tuesday, so today is news day. So I'm sure we have some news articles to kick us ourselves off for the day.
Yes, we do, Dennis. So starting things off, the California Student Aid Commission posted a special alert on December 1st regarding online cash for college workshops for the 2021-2022 FAFSA and CADA application cycle. The webinars are free and open to all students and families applying for financial aid. Volunteers will be available to answer general questions throughout the session through the chat box. For one-on-one assistance, phone responses will be offered after the webinar. The first workshop is Tuesday, December 15th, with additional workshops in January and February. For more information, check out our show notes for a link to the CSAC special alerts.
Yeah, that's great that, you know, the Student Aid Commission is back in the business. And I know LA Cash for College, the LA area sponsored part of this program, is also, they've been doing a variety of workshops, not just FAFSA ones, throughout all this time. But the state is finally, you know, kicking into gear for all the across the state needs for these workshops.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah, and you know, it's kind of sad though, because I remember our Cash for College events on campus.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Yeah, so and I know how, you know, they were such a big deal, you know, because
yes,
you're reaching out to the community, and then I remember we would have like different organizations to come
yes
out, and representatives to come and open the event. So
yeah, we had assembly members. We
yeah,
had.
Yeah.
State senators. In fact, I think one year we had Alex Padilla, who is currently Secretary of State, I think. You know, he's up there in the ranks of, you know, a new elected officials at the state level.
Mm-hmm.
Come and open up and have set up their tents. We had the census people one year, foster mm-hmm youth, sheriffs, CalWORKs. We had them all.
Yeah.
And it used to be big events. And then I think, yeah, I don't know what it was, but I think part... And this was, you know, an unintended thing, probably a good unintended thing, but when we moved the FAFSA cycle from January 1st, which meant that we had literally like 2 months, right, to get mm-hmm before the March 2nd deadline for Cal Grant.
Yes.
And that, and the feds moved, the federal government moved it back to October 1st. I mean, we moved our Cash for College events, but I don't think... even if we did them in early October, for whatever reason, we just weren't catching all the students through the high school
as fast as
I'd want to.
I think a lot of that had to do, Dennis, with other Cash for College events throughout the community.
You think so?
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's probably what.
Well, because this, in L.A., yeah, this is why we have the L.A. Cash for College version of this, is mm-hmm that the L.A. Chamber of Commerce, who were the coordinators of this, mm-hmm, would try to make certain that, like, if we were going to do a big event, they wouldn't have another big event near us.
Oh, I see.
They may have a small one, but even there, they didn't want to have lots of small ones. And it was something that I'd always implored with them when I spoke with people at the chamber, was that, you know, let's try to get other schools to buddy up with us. So try to get all our area schools. But I think mm-hmm it just was students were starting to do it all on their own and doing it at home. And, you know, especially those who are thinking four-year universities, I think they got on the ball yeah right away, because mm-hmm they get scared into, you know, being told first come, first serve and stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah, we've seen our numbers dwindle away. And now that the state's doing the Cash for College events again, we'll have to see if we can slip ourselves into helping them at least, if possible.
Okay.
So keep your name out there, Dana. I'll let them know who you are.
Okay.
Well, let's talk about another group of students. This is a subgroup of students that we can be helping and are getting help. The John Burton Advocates for Youth recently released a financial aid guide for California foster youth and posted it to the website. The guide provides a comprehensive overview of the financial aid process, what type of aid is available. It offers some guidance on how students can maximize their awards and remain eligible, you know, academically throughout their time in college. So check our show notes for how you can get this guide for you and your students. I assume, Dana, you know, being a technician, we've probably, and you probably have worked with like our foster kinship care program on campus.
Oh, absolutely.
And our people there,
absolutely,
because uh-huh we certainly know we've got plenty of new resources in the last 5 to 10 years. We've got What started as KFES or KFES, KFES, it was the world's worst acronym because they had a bad rhyme scheme. You'd think it was KFES.
KFES.
But it was actually KFES.
KFES.
Yeah, C-A-F-Y-S.
But we pronounce it KFES.
Exactly. So, yeah. Brett Favre. it's the Brett Favre thing, you know, Brett Favre, you know.
Okay. Tomato.
A little of that. But yes, that program at least got smart and changed to Next Up.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So when you see Next Up on campus, you know we're talking about working with our foster youth program. And most of the time that's in our EOPS offices on campuses because the way the funding was set up, people are like, why is it over there not in financial aid? It's the way the state set up the funding initially. The funding was going to EOPS offices to work with foster youth. So I guess in case anyone out there ever wondered why your KFES program or your Next Up program, if you got it on your campus, is in EOPS, an office usually next door to financial aid. That's why.
That's why.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. All right, Dennis. Moving along, the Youth Law Center recently released their guide to financial aid for California youth with juvenile justice involvement. I think the title of the guide says it all. College is for everyone. The guide is meant to help youth who are about to graduate from high school and are under the age of 26 with juvenile justice involvement maximize the amount of financial aid they can receive. The guide covers all forms of aid, including guidance for students who are foster youth, homeless youth, and students who are undocumented or DACA recipients. Find a link to the guide in our show notes.
Yeah, and this is another one that we've got a group on campus. What's it called?
Ours is called the College Culture Reentry Hub Program.
Okay, and yeah, we've got people who help students who've been involved in the new terminology, the juvenile justice system or juvenile justice involvement. So, you know, that could meant anything over their time up to 18 or just beyond that. Dana, did you not work with some students off campus when you were doing some of your teaching of counseling classes?
Yes, I taught a counseling course at one of the facilities in Lancaster, Challenger. And that was definitely an experience. Definitely experience. All young men.
Okay.
So it was. I don't know how to say this in a nice way. It was hard. It was tough.
I'm sure.
I'm not gonna lie. It was tough. But you know what though, Dennis? Those young men, man, they have it rough. It's what they're going through, what they have been through, and what they're trying to navigate is not an easy system. So when they make it out and they are able to connect with our college through our reentry hub program, man, you know, we got to do whatever we can to make sure that they stay. So like the retention, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's one of those things that any one of our campuses, you know, you look at our highest at-risk type students. You know, I mean, we have them all. I mean, we've got first generation. We've got low income. We have recent arrivals from other countries. So we have language barriers. We have juvenile justice system involved students who might have started off on a bad foot and want to get themselves into going to school. And so they have a lot of things. And sometimes that then means that maybe they're foster youth or other circumstances in the family that might not lend themselves well to going to college. So,
And I think when we're serving those students, we have to keep in mind that for them, like this is huge for them. Like, so I think, you know, just being extra, having extra care when assisting, like you're saying, these types of populations of students is very important because we're their lifeline.
Exactly. You know? Yeah. I mean, we really are there to get them hooked in right away.
Absolutely. You
know, in a good way, that is.
In a good way.
Exactly. Well, Dana, we're at that point. We're going to take a little break here and then come back for our next segment and more news.
And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
It's time for the refill, and I think I've got the next news item here. Let's see here. So, you know, now that the California community colleges are moving into a new student-centered funding formula, or as some people have call it SCIF, because it's S-C-F-F, there's been a whole lot more focus on the factors that influence campus funding and budgets. So, Dana, if you didn't know, the number of students who receive our CCPG, the old fee waiver, or the Pell Grant influences the funding our college receives to cover operational costs. As such, it seems like every department on our campus wants to know how they can reach out to their students, you know, EOPS, Athletics, TRIO, our Dream Resource Center, and such. So this has brought up a very important topic that most of us in financial aid directors may not be fully aware of, where we can draw the line on sharing financial aid data. So I found a great resource. I highly suggest to all financial aid directors or anyone that may want to know about where you can share data, because again, you might be asked for data or other technicians. Yes. Uh-huh. Over at the Ask Regs tool on the NASA website, they have a fully fleshed out response to this topic, including a data sharing decision tree. It's literally a if this, then this, to figure out if you can share data. The tree walks you through the process of determining, you know, all of that, so that if you have a request from other campuses, you can properly respond. And this is very important for everyone, because you would think that, well, it's just campus data. But the Department of Ed is very clear on use of their data. Again, the idea is that FAFSA is not a recruitment tool, so you can't use it per se for that. You know, you'd think that, you know, it makes sense if you could, but the whole idea as far as the federal government is concerned is FAFSA results are about awarding aid. That's about it. So you have to be careful. Even though it's on a campus, there's still that need to know kind of mentality you have to keep in mind. So, you know, we can, like when I have the athletics department on my campus every year on our campus, they always want to know their numbers, you know, how many students of theirs are getting aid. So I can report back to them aggregate numbers, you know, like of their 22 soccer players, you know, 17 have applied for aid and 5 haven't, stuff like that. We may then do some internal outreach to those who haven't applied. But when it comes to those who have received it, you know, even then we can't tell them what they're receiving. Same thing for professors. I know a lot of professors would like to know that too, you know, so that they can either outreach or, you know, remind students of certain things, but there are some guidelines, everybody. So keep that in mind.
All right, Dennis. So also from the NASA website, an article by NASA staff reporter indicates the U.S. Department of Education is launching an online portal to track the use of CARES funding at colleges and within states, citing billions of dollars left unspent from the CARES Act. The current Secretary of Education wants colleges to be more transparent about how they are using their CARES funds. The new tool is available at the U.S. Department of Education's website, so we'll include a direct link to it in our show notes. There is a lot of data on this page, so take your time to see how your college is doing. It takes a little work to dig through things and find yourself. So go find yourself.
Yeah, I went there to myself to find our college. And because CARES Act encompasses aid for education, there's K through 12, there's some secondary stuff. You have to find the stuff that's specific to higher education. And then you'll find like a big long list of schools. But unless you download the data or something and you're just trying to look online, it's not the easiest thing to sort through. But you can find out, for example, you know, our college got a little less than $3 million in CARES funding, of which about half of that was already spent on student emergency grants during the spring and late spring semester. part of this is what they're talking about, and, you know, to a smaller percent, luckily, but, you know, colleges made a lot of disbursements right after COVID, obviously, because that's when we got the money in April, May. But some students had already started to disappear. And so even for all of the disbursements we have, we are still trying to track down students to get them their money. So that's part of it. And then the other half is how colleges aren't spending the last half of their money quite yet either. So it's an interesting tool, everyone. You know, take a little bit of time, see if you can find your school, your state. You can break it down by a whole lot of things. Well, that's about all on the news front, Dana. Let's get in a couple things about some training items that were posted to CASFA and even to the CSFA website recently. So Atigo by Ascendium, it's a company out there, is offering a webinar on December 15th titled Exploring Students, Money, and Their Relationships. The webinar will explore how our students perceive money and how this heavily depends on their upbringing and the environment they grew up in. Their experiences shape their attitudes about spending, saving, and borrowing. So join the webinar to explore the relationship your students have with money and the opportunities to help them develop healthy and sound financial behavior. Check out the CASFA website for this and other training opportunities we talk about today.
So Dennis, I hope you can afford to send me to a free webinar on December 16th. Mapping Your Future has a webinar titled Understanding Taxes, The Basics and Beyond. Carolyn Thomas of Thomas & Associates, CPAs, will provide information and guidance about what to do when you're looking at tax returns and transcripts, including who should file returns, the various filing statuses, and other guidelines regarding earned and unearned income.
Well, Dana, if you know anything about my budget... This year in particular.
Yeah. I know all about it.
I can afford all the free training anybody wants.
Awesome. This is good news. So I will definitely be in that training.
And I say the same thing to everybody else out there. If you are at a college or whatever, or you hear about these things, go out and do some training. Sometimes it's on the go. Sometimes you can do it later. But to get in there while the getting is good, you know, while we're working from home and we're all working off our fast internet connections, do a little training. You know, do Coursera, do edX, these free online platforms. And then don't forget, and you know, because there's all those things and then people are doing doctorate degrees and master's degrees. Don't forget about our own schools, everybody. If you've thought of taking a class through your community college, what better time to do it? You know, Dana, sometimes I'd be a little bit of a stickler for you and the other staff who are trying to take classes in the middle of the day, right? But that's because we need you working. Now, not so much a problem because maybe you're doing the class asynchronously, online. Right? Where it's at your own leisure almost.
Yep. Almost, yeah.
So everybody, go out there, get smarter. That's what I'm saying.
Now's the time, right?
Yeah.
Well, take advantage of the opportunity.
Oh, yeah. So, Dana, one last quick news article-y kind of thing. Training. Dana, did you take any student loans out when you went to college?
Of course. Yes.
Just a few. Let me ask, do you still owe some money on those?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. Well,
when speaking to our students or listening to the news, you might be, but you're maybe not as much as others, confused as I am as to what options are available for repayment on student loans these days.
Mm-hmm. I know exactly what you're talking about. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm.
If so, then, and in your case, Fed Loan Servicing, also known as FEA, which is part of the Pennsylvania Higher Education Authority, is offering a webinar on effective income-driven repayment plan counseling on December 17th. The session will review the ABCs of effective IDR, that's income-driven repayment, counseling. And so, you know, check this out. For those out there who talk to students or, in Dana's case, have student loans and want to know more, it's not a bad thing to do to learn all the intricate details of repayment.
Yes, because it can get a little confusing, excuse me. Uh-huh.
Exactly. Well, that's it for our news for today. So let's take another short musical interlude, head into our last sip segment of the day. And just like that, we are into our last sip segment, everyone. So, Dana, just like all good last sip segments, do you have an I Dare You To option selection for our people out there in our audience?
Of course I do.
All right.
So, everybody listening, you know, it's the holidays. It's upon us. So, I want to dare all our listeners to email us what your favorite holiday movie is. I have several. So,
okay.
For example, like last night, Mom and I were watching a National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. That's okay. One of our favorites.
All right.
And of course, A Christmas Story. You know, that's okay. Every year. And for us, it never gets old. We can watch it over and over.
Really?
And over,
okay.
It never gets old for us. And then our new favorite one is the new Netflix movie, Jingle Jangle.
So okay.
Check that out if you haven't. Yeah. So yeah, I dare you guys, email us what your favorite holiday movies are so I can take a look. I want to know.
WBCSFA@gmail.com.
Yes. Yes. Definitely. How about you, Dennis? You got any favorites?
Obviously I like, you know, It's a Wonderful Life.
Oh yeah. Classic. Yeah.
Because, you know, it gets it, you know, you watch it enough times. I like all the Charlie Brown ones.
Oh yeah.
I like the original Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Mm-hmm. Mom was watching that a few weeks ago.
Rankin-Bass. Uh-huh. I got to say, though, for whatever reason, I was tuning in, you know, and you're used to the Rudolph, you know, that animation style, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I tuned in on something like a week ago, and I was watching it, and it was like this early 70s version of, like, another story about Rudolph.
Is it with the little drummer boy?
I don't know what it was, but it was the same It was the same, you know, stop motion capture stuff.
Uh huh. I know.
But it was like he worked for a circus or something. It was a wacky story. It was probably horrible. It was just a horrible, horrible Chris. It did like good. It's like they said, hey, this is so popular. Let's take another story of Rudolph, who's often like a circus. Oh, it was just horrible. That's all I'm going to say, everybody.
Oh, boy. Okay, so yeah, don't watch that one.
No, as soon as I find the name of it, I'll pre-warn you. I called my brother up. I go, do you ever remember seeing this as a
kid? Wow, it was like that. You had to call a lifeline and be
I wanted to make sure I wasn't seeing things because, you know, I wasn't drunk or anything.
And you wasn't hitting the sauce, Dennis?
No, it wasn't late enough or early enough. I know. It's hard to believe. Well, my only I dare you to is... I'm showing Dana on my Zoom here. Go out and buy a CD, everybody, or something. Go buy some music still. Get however you buy it. Don't just steal it or, you know, listen to it alone. But go buy some music. Support some artists. I have here Elvis Costello's new album called Hey Clockface. If you don't know about Elvis Costello, he's been recording for years and years and years. I would suggest getting other albums of his that sound more like regular music. This one was recorded during this time of COVID, so it's a very interesting album. You have to be a real Costello lover to like it. So just putting that out there, everybody. But that's about all we have time for today, Dana. But as always, we'll have our next episodes and maybe some surprise holiday ones coming up in the next week or so. How's that?
Sounds awesome.
So I want to thank you, Dana, for joining us today on What's Brewing CISFA, and thank you out there, everyone, our audience, for tuning in.
And hey, everyone, remember to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
For this and all What's Brewing CISFA podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcast.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcast app. And you can always find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's pod and bean is one word, just so you know. And don't forget, we are also on Spotify.
You can send us feedback or feed us topics you want to hear on the show. Email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CISFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dana and myself.
This has been episode number 45. recorded the morning of Friday, December 11th, 2020.
Have a great day, everyone.
And have a great weekend.